You're listening to Opposition Territory here at the Philadelphia Sports Table Podcast Show, the longest-running weekly Philly sports podcast show in the world. That's right, over 9 years strong, and we've got your Week 2 Philadelphia Eagles preview podcast. Yes, we are going to be getting into this upcoming game, Eagles against the Vikings, the first game of the season at Lincoln Financial Field. The link is going to be absolutely crazy this coming Sunday. We've got a great guest. We're going to dissect the talent we're going to be seeing on the field, matchups. So why don't we just get to it? It's great to have back on the podcast. He was just on a few weeks ago. I think it's the first time we've actually had somebody come back in such a quick period of time. We love that he's back on the show to talk about this upcoming Eagles and Vikings game from the DailyNorseman.com, SB Nation's Minnesota Vikings website. To preview this week two matchup, we've got Mr. Christopher Gates. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing all right, Jeff. How are you going this evening?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm a little nervous as an Eagles fan, I got to tell you, about this upcoming game, because we saw two teams this past week. Week one that really showed us a lot from an offensive perspective, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, Justin Jefferson and company, they were doing some remarkable things on the field against the Green Bay Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, not necessarily the best defense we saw in the second half, but from an offensive perspective, really clicking on a lot of different cylinders. This is going to be a really fascinating game.
It really should be. I mean, I think there were plenty of people that thought the Vikings had an opportunity to beat Green Bay on Sunday, but I don't know if they expected the kind of performance that we got from the Vikings on both sides of the ball. I mean, particularly on the defensive side, but we'll get more into that here in a little while. And I didn't catch a lot of the Eagles-Lions game. I saw that the Eagles got out to a big lead and kind of had to hold the Lions off there at the end a little bit.
Yep.
But it's going to be pretty interesting on Monday night here, I think.
It's going to be real interesting for sure. So, Chris, let's get into some reflections on week one in particular, and particularly with your Minnesota Vikings. I mean, they handled the Packers. They did, which I'm sure you loved watching that. But I wanted to get into two aspects of this past week's game. First and foremost, what did you think was the biggest strength of the Minnesota Vikings offense and defense? After you've been able to sit back, reflect on what you actually saw, what were the biggest strengths of the offense and the defense?
I think the biggest strength on offense is that Kevin O'Connell and company actually played to the strength of the personnel that they have. I believe we talked about this the last time we talked, but the Mike Zimmer era Vikings were a lot of heavy personnel packages, a lot of running the football.
Yeah.
And this time around with Kevin O'Connell and Wes Phillips running the show, it was more three wide receivers, more spreading things out. And the Vikings' top three receivers are as good as any top three wide receiver group in football, I think. So if you can get your best players on the field and put them in situations where they have an advantage, that's the best you can ask for, rather than just trying to shoehorn players into your particular scheme, because that's just the way you want to do things.
Right.
As far as on the defensive side of the ball, the pass rush was pretty impressive. I mean, a lot of that has to do with guys like Za'Darius Smith and Danielle Hunter finally being healthy. And, it did help that the Packers were missing both of their starting offensive tackles. But I think even if those guys would have been in there, I think they would have had all they could handle from Smith and Hunter and the rest of the defense. So that was probably the biggest strength of the Vikings on the defensive side of the ball this past week.
All right. Well, I guess to follow up, on the flip side of the coin, what was the biggest weakness on offense and defense when reflecting on that week one matchup, Vikings and Green Bay Packers, specifically for the Vikings? What was that weakness that you saw on offense and defense?
On offense, I mean, it's probably still the interior of the offensive line, and we'll probably get more into the offensive line here in a little bit. But yeah, the interior of the offensive line is still a little bit of a mess. I mean, it's better than it's been, but it's still not
a little shaky
or anything like that. Yeah. A little bit shaky, yeah. And on the defensive side, and this is going to be huge going into a game against the Eagles, but the run defense is not anywhere near what we expected it to be. I mean, the Packers, I think, were averaging something like 6 yards a carry on the ground. It was just a ridiculous number. And the one touchdown drive they had was accomplished mostly on the ground. They were just moving guys out of the way and moving down the field. And So yeah, the Vikings need to figure out this run defense in a hurry before they get to Lincoln Financial on Monday.
I think that from a run defense standpoint, the Vikings should be better than what they actually showed in week one.
They should be.
But I have to say too, on our table talk show this past week, you know, one of the themes we were talking about is the fact that it is week one. And I think so many of us NFL fans, we kind of need to pump the brakes and say, okay, week one, certain guys, certain players, personnel are trying to just kind of get their feet wet at the beginning of this season. A lot of these players, in fact, didn't really play during the preseason games as well.
No.
And I think there's something to be said for that. I think overreaction is what sells, of course. We know that within this industry, of course. But I think in terms of the Vikings defense, especially the rushing defense, the run defense, and stopping opposing running backs, I think it's going to come around for sure.
I think it will eventually, too. I mean, there's just too much talent there with guys like Harrison Phillips and Dalvin Tomlinson and those sorts of players on the defensive side of the ball for the Vikings. So, I think things are going to get a little better. But, after 1 week, it was not as impressive as it probably should have been.
Let's get into, Chris, a theme we talked about when you were on the podcast just a few weeks ago and you brought up the interior of the offensive line. And I haven't actually sat and watched the game and the tape fully from the Packers-Vikings game, but you know, we talked about that, and you just mentioned the interior of that offensive line needing to be steady, needing to be consistent. The fact that it really wasn't necessarily 100% gelling, there's a bit of a concern, I know, amongst Vikings Nation that, you know, that could be an Achilles heel perhaps at some point down the road. So when you look at this offense, an offensive line overall, I should say, how did they look to you overall this past week? And like, what vibes are you getting from them? Again, just after one game, after 1 week, what are those vibes with that interior offensive line?
I mean, the offensive line, the Vikings have the tackles figured out.
Yeah.
I mean, Christian Darrisaw was moving people. Brian O'Neill was really, really solid on Sunday. But yeah, the interior of the offensive line, Ezra Cleveland at left guard is all right, but your 2 points of contention are going to be Garrett Bradbury at center and Ed Ingram at right guard. Ed Ingram, it was his first NFL start. He was a second-round pick this year, and he had a rough go of things. I think he gave up the Vikings' only sack to Rashawn Gary early on in the game. But, I know the Eagles have big Jordan Davis inside now and a couple of other guys on the interior, and that could potentially be a significant problem for because, you know, Bradbury, we talked about, he's one of these guys that's kind of undersized. He gets kind of forklifted every so often by bigger dudes back into the quarterback. And, you know, you can't teach, you know, being 280 pounds. I mean, you can't just make him a 300-pound guy or anything like that.
So he's going to have to eat a lot of food this week.
He's going to. I mean, that's probably the big point. So the Vikings offensive line, they've got the tackle situation figured out. But, you know, Bradbury and Ed Ingram are going to have to step things up from where they were in week one.
All right. Well, sticking with talent on the Minnesota Vikings here. And again, we've only seen 1 week so far, but I'd like to do this exercise every now and then with some of our opposition territory guests. I'm going to give you a few categories here. And if you can give me the player that you're thinking of and why, again, just after week one, that'd be fantastic. So the breakout guy on the Minnesota Vikings after week one, who do you think that individual was and why?
I am actually going to go with the guy that Philadelphia Eagles fans are pretty familiar with, and that would be Jordan Hicks.
Ooh, okay.
Jordan Hicks, he led the Vikings in tackles on Sunday. He had a sack where he just absolutely destroyed Aaron Rodgers and forced a fumble that the Vikings recovered and turned into 3 points. And I think a lot of folks saw the Jordan Hicks signing in the offseason and knowing the Vikings were going to go to more of a 3-4. Might not have gotten as excited about it as they probably need to, because Jordan Hicks is a quality football player.
He is.
He's been a quality football player for a very long time.
But
I think with his performance on Sunday, I think he's on the radar of a lot more Minnesota Vikings fans now than he probably was early on.
All right. And the next category I'm going to give you here, who do you think the comeback kid was week one Vikings at Green Bay when you reflect on it? Who's the comeback kid?
Oh, I mean, the obvious choice for this one is Za'Darius Smith.
There
he got an opportunity to play his former team.
Yep.
And there was a story that came out earlier in the week that said when he was injured, dealing with his back injury last year, the Packers were bad to him or whatever. And you knew he was going to come out of the gate just all fired up. And You know, he had a big fourth down stop on a fourth and goal where he stopped A.J. Dillon short of the goal line, and he had a sack, and you know, he was just everywhere out there. So I think he's the pretty easy choice for that one after week one.
And I think there's something to be said about the momentum that he is going to carry with regard to his play into this week against the Eagles, and perhaps we may be talking about him down the road for sure. But when a player is in a situation like he was, that momentum can carry even throughout the season. So that's going to be really interesting for Minnesota Vikings fans to keep in mind. And moving along here, Chris, who do you think the rising star of the Vikings was this past week, week one? Who is that player?
I'm going to go with the safety, Cameron Bynum. He got the start. I mean, I know the Vikings used a first-round pick on Lewis Cine, another safety out of Georgia this past year. And he was inactive because he aggravated a knee injury during practice. And now Bynum was listed as the starter overseen anyway, but I think the Vikings were going to go with a lot more three safety kind of looks this year. But, you know, can't write off Cameron Bynum. He played solid across from Harrison Smith, and he's been a solid player. He got an opportunity last year when Smith was out a couple of games, and yeah, he's a guy to keep an eye on for sure.
All right, and the final category here I'm going to give you before we move on to more matchups that we may be seeing and what we're going to be seeing with these matchups, I should say, in week two, Eagles-Vikings. This last category is the player on the Vikings that needs to rebound. Who needs to rebound, and who's that player?
Well, we've already talked about him a little bit, but I'm going to say Ed Ingram is the guy that's going to need to go back because, like I said, the Eagles have all those big dudes on the interior that are there to make life miserable for interior offensive linemen. And,
yeah.
You know, Ingram had a rough NFL debut, but, you know, he pretty clearly won the job in camp. The Vikings, you know, didn't play him as much toward the end of the preseason because they made it clear that he was the number one guy at that spot. So he needs to come out and show a little bit more. I mean, he's going to get better. I mean, he had the sort of rookie mistakes the first game, but he needs to start improving pretty rapidly here at this point, I think.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Again, folks, talking to Chris Gates from the Daily Norseman, dailynorseman.com, great SB Nation site, and follow Chris on Twitter too, at Daily Norseman, and he's fantastic follow. So, all right, let's get into some of the Eagles aspect of what we may be seeing and what Minnesota may actually be doing to counter what the Eagles are going to do on offense. I mean, I would imagine, Chris, that Jalen Hurts is going to be a huge concern for the Vikings defense. I mean, 243 yards in the air, 90 yards on the ground with a rushing touchdown this past week. What are the concerns you have going up against the Eagles offense, who had some, they did have some struggles from an offensive line perspective early on, rebounded a little bit, but they found their way to continue running the ball as they did last season. So again, what concerns do you have, and what should Vikings fans be really kind of just saying, wow, we're really concerned about this when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles offense? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, we talked about the run defense already. The run defense for Minnesota against Green Bay was not anywhere near where it needs to be at this point. And the Eagles' run game, I think, is significantly better than the Packers' run game is, largely because of what Jalen Hurts brings. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has some mobility and whatnot, but there's not a lot of designed quarterback runs for Aaron Rodgers the way there is for Jalen Hurts,
right,
obviously. So, and Hurts is the kind of guy that has traditionally given the Vikings a lot of trouble. I mean, no matter what era you go back and look at, but a guy that can make plays out of the pocket, keep plays alive, and get yards with his feet, that's definitely going to be the primary concern, I think, is trying to keep him contained, try to keep him more in the pocket rather than letting him get out on the edge and whatnot. But yeah, that's definitely going to be the primary concern here, I think, is keeping Jalen Hurts more contained so that he can't hurt the Vikings in the numerous different ways that he can.
I think it's interesting that you said try to keep him in the pocket. One of the themes on our Eagles postgame podcast show was the fact that Jalen Hurts, from a pocket management standpoint, did not do that great of a job. I mean, I read the numbers, what he did. I mean, he had a pretty stellar statistical day. But when you look at his pocket management, you look at him being able to get up into that, quote, second pocket, it just wasn't there. It just wasn't happening. Too many times just flushing out out of the pocket without really looking and going through his progressions. The processing is what we talked about as well. Didn't necessarily seem to be there. And I'm wondering if the Vikings will be able to exploit that.
I certainly hope they'll be able to. I mean, if you can get, we've seen something like that when the Vikings have faced Russell Wilson over the years. It's important, you know, to like you said, try to make Hurts go up rather than out.
Right.
As far as the pocket, because if he gets out on the edge, all of a sudden he's got the option to run. People have to step up and potentially contain him. That opens guys up as well. So if guys like Za'Darius Smith and Danielle Hunter can get pressure from the outside and kind of make him step up in the pocket rather than trying to go around and loop outside, I think that's going to be a pretty significant deal for this defense if they could force him to do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, in terms of the Eagles offense, I mean, we saw, and as an Eagles fan and following this team and, you know, for me, loving this team as long as I have, it was so great to see a wide receiver in A.J. Brown, a true number one wide receiver on this team, just absolutely balling out in week one. You know, we were just talking about Jalen Hurts, of course, and what he's able to do while he is on the run with the ball in his hands. Miles Sanders, he was trusted with the ball this past week. Every Eagles running back had a touchdown in this game as well. Dallas Goedert was getting a ton of yards after the catch as well. That was great to see. So from a matchup perspective, Chris, how do you think the Vikings are going to try to contain the talent that is on the Eagles offense with their new look defense that, you know, going through a little bit of growing pains, but this Vikings new look defense, I don't know, how do they try to contain the weapons on the Eagles offensive side of the ball?
I mean, I think the best thing they can do is a lot of what we saw against Green Bay, and that's just simply try to come out and be the more physical football team. I mean, we saw they were matching up against the Packers, and again, the Packers' two offensive tackles were both out, but the Vikings were clearly the more physical team when it came to their front seven against the Packers' offensive line and blocking and whatnot.
Yeah.
If they can kind of impose their will a little bit and you know, try to, like I said, keep the pressure on Hurts, try to keep him more contained so he can't do all the stuff that he's capable of doing. I think the physicality is going to be a big key. I think they also have to try to give Jalen Hurts some different looks on defense as well to try to throw him off balance a little bit. I mean, I know a lot of what the Vikings do, they didn't really change a lot. They play kind of the same sort of defense throughout the game on Sunday against Green Bay. But yeah, and again, it's one of those things where Jalen Hurts just doesn't have the experience and the kind of breadth of knowledge that a guy like Aaron Rodgers has. So the more different looks I think you could throw at Jalen Hurts, I think it would be beneficial for the Vikings. So they need to be more physical than the Eagles, and they need to try to throw some deception in there as well to try and make that work out.
All right. Well, the final topic I wanted to get into with you here, Chris, is you know, the one thing from both sides, and I guess first and foremost, what's that one thing that the Vikings are going to need to hit on this week for a win in Philadelphia? What's that one thing?
I think it's something we've touched on a couple of times already. The run defense has to be a whole lot better than it was against Green Bay, because, you know, if the Eagles are able to establish the run early and you're looking at, you know, second and three, second and four, third and two, you've got your entire playbook available at that point. You can kind of do whatever you want. If you can keep the run game contained and make those second, third downs a little bit longer, then all of a sudden, you know, you can throw in some of those blitzes, throw in some of those things to hopefully confuse Jalen Hurts a little bit and, yep, and help slow that offense down. As far as the Eagles, the biggest thing that they can do, or the biggest thing they could try to do, I don't know if any team's going to be successful at it, but they need to make Kirk Cousins look to somewhere other than number 18,
yep,
on every play. Because, okay, you know, that Kevin O'Connell has made it clear that this offense is going to run through Justin Jefferson all the time. He had 9 catches for 184 yards and both of the Vikings touchdowns on Sunday. Pretty much every catch he made, there wasn't a defender within about 5 yards. He was just completely wide open on pretty much every reception. And, you know, as great as he is, the Eagles are going to have to take steps to try to keep him contained as best they can. And, you know, they have other quality receivers like Adam Thielen, KJ Osborne, so forth, but, you know, they don't have another Justin Jefferson. And yeah. They need to, Eagles, if they want to win, they need to do as much as they can to contain Justin Jefferson and make Cousins go to other places, because I'm pretty sure Jefferson is going to be the first read on just about every play. So if you, if you make Cousins come off of Jefferson and try to go through his progressions a little bit more, I think that could really play to the Eagles' advantage.
I got to tell you, I think this could be a precursor. This game could be a precursor to what we see in the playoffs. And I know it's only, we're only heading into week two here. And again, like I said, you know, really getting those hot takes in here. You know, that's what we all do.
I mean, it kind of worries me because, you know, the last time these two teams met in the playoffs, it really didn't go well for us. So
it didn't go well for you. Yeah.
I'd rather not see that if we could help that. But you know, like you said, it's a different time, different coaching staffs, yep. Different year. So yeah, who knows? Could be something to, like you said, be a precursor for something down the track.
Absolutely. Again, folks, it was great talking to you. It was great talking to you, Chris. Really, Chris Gates from thedailynorseman.com at Daily Norseman on Twitter. And man, it was great. Again, great talking to you. Thank you for coming on for the preview show. And let's talk again down the road, my friend.
Not a problem, Jeff. We will talk to you sometime down the line.
This certainly has all of the themes to be a great, great game. This could be one of the best games of week two. Two teams that when you look at the NFL power rankings at this particular point are definitely near the top. Both teams showed a lot in week one. They're going to be looking to make statements in week two. And of course, here at the Philadelphia Sports Table Podcast Show, we hope the Philadelphia Eagles are certainly going to be making a statement in their first home game at the Link against these Minnesota Vikings, who have a lot of firepower on offense. Man, it was a great discussion there with Chris, but that's going to do it for us, folks. At Philadelphia PST, if you're new to the podcast, you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffrey_Warren. Follow us on Instagram. Search out the Philadelphia Sports Table there and like our Facebook page, too. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, we would greatly appreciate a rate and review and hit that follow button too. Follow us there. Subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're on. And if anything ever happens to your podcast feed, something weird happens, head on over to PhiladelphiaSportsTable.com. It's where we have all of our podcast shows. You can dive into the archives and check out what we've been talking about this week, this month, this year, and more. That's going to do it for us. Take care, folks. We'll catch you next time.